chapter 5 is where we're going today. Matthew chapter 5, and I preached this message before once in Illinois and once at Oak Grove, and that was back in March. I preached it two times, and since then it's probably got a few things. I keep scripture, you never exhaust it. You keep finding new things, so maybe longer. So if it gets too long, I'll just cut it off, and we'll finish it tonight. But it's Matthew chapter 5, it's really spoke a lot of my heart as I meditate more on it. The wonderful thing about preaching is you not only get to give out God's Word, but you get to meditate on it. And as I meditate on it, it really speaks to my heart and helps me every day. That's why I try to memorize God's words. When we get older, it's a little harder to do. But when you memorize it, then you can just be meditating on it all day long. It's kind of a good thing to do. So Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be reading, we're going to cover just verses 1 through 12, Matthew chapter 5, and let's read it together and then we'll pray. Matthew 5, 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious word and for the truths of it and how it changes our life. We just praise you for that. We pray now, Lord, that you'll just guide my mouth as I preach this message. Help me to say the things I should say and not say what I shouldn't say. Help it to be a blessing to all of us and draw us closer to thee. And we do pray, Lord, there might be someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior. And we pray today that might be the day that they will come to the knowledge of you as their Savior and be saved. And we praise you again for the opportunity to preach your word. And just help us now and guide us and give us strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is a sermon. Actually, it's more of a teaching by Jesus, because you notice in verse 1 there it says he saw the multitude. He was out there preaching and teaching the multitude, but he saw them, and sometimes he would pull aside so he could talk to the disciples. And so he saw the multitude, but he went aside from them and went up into a mountain. And when he went up on the mountain there, he sat down, and his disciples came to them, and then he opened his mouth and taught them. So this portion of Scripture is primarily to the disciples who already knew how to be saved. Although we will see the gospel, there's some gospel in this, because you can find the gospel wherever if you look closely. It's found all through the Bible. But the point I want to make about that is that this was given to the disciples. This was not a plan of salvation, because it's so sad that liberal people, they've taken scriptures all out of context, texts and so forth, and they've taken these are called the Beatitudes. Well, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, but the first 12 verses that we're going to preach about this morning are what we call the Beatitudes. And Beatitudes are important. We're going to find they're rich with all kinds of truth. But they weren't as a means of salvation. It didn't mean if you lived like this that you can earn your way to heaven. That was not at all what was meant. But there are a lot of truths here, a lot of special truths. In fact, what we'll find about these truths are ideas about living that Jesus gave to his disciples, and they're completely upside down from the way the world thinks, because the world has its idea of success, but Jesus' idea of success given here is like all upside down, completely the opposite. There's a little children's song, Patch of Pirates song called Upside Down, and I don't remember all the words to it, but I know in the background it has one of those. Only goes like one of those little songs, like dun 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 dun, dun, kind of like a carousel. And if any of you have ever been to the fair amusement park, and you ride on the carousel, and you know you just go up and down and round and round. And the idea of the little song, children's song, is that the world is all mixed up. Like if you go on a merry-go-round fast enough, you get sick. The world is all messed up, and they have it all upside down. And Jesus is talking about here in these 12 verses, he's talking about being blessed and are being happy. and having peace and joy in your heart. And it's completely, what Jesus says here is completely different from what the world says. On the surface, many people, they think that they have a blessed life because they have the house, the car, the vacations, the career. But we know that even in America today, as we've had this economic downturn in recent days, and how people are kind of scared now, and that all their things that they have do not necessarily make them happy. They're not the blessed life. They're merely inferior copy of the blessed life. These things that Jesus talks about, being poor, mournful, meek, hungry, merciful, pure, peacemakers, and persecuted, they're the opposite of what the world says. Jesus says you're blessed if you're poor. The world says you're blessed if you're rich. Jesus said you're blessed if you're mournful. The world says those with the big, fake Hollywood smiles, that's the blessed people. Jesus says you're blessed if you're meek. The world says the big shots, the highfalutin, so to speak, those kind of people are blessed. Jesus says the hungry are blessed. The world says the prosperous are blessed. Jesus says the merciful are blessed. The world says you got to get ahead of everybody else. You got to be the you got to dog eat dog. You got to get ahead and you'll be blessed. That's what the world says. Jesus says the pure are blessed. The world says the impure are blessed. Jesus says the peacemakers are blessed. The world says the troublemakers are blessed. Jesus says the persecuted are blessed. And the world says if you make fun of others and have a big time running people down, you'll be blessed. So the world has it all upside down. But praise the Lord, we have the Word of God to get it right side up in our lives. And number one here, we see verse 3, the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And I think this is so important that we realize that we are nothing. We're poor in spirit there, doesn't necessarily mean poor in money. It's talking about the inner you. That it's opposite of being proud, realizing we're nothing. John 15:5 says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without God, we are nothing. We can do absolutely nothing on our own. We can't save ourselves. We can't lift ourselves up. We're nothing. We're all sinners. And that's so important to remember, the total depravity of man, and that we're totally, completely unable to help ourselves. And you know, as I said, this isn't necessarily a salvation portion of Scripture, but it sure has a lot of salvation in it, because until a person realizes that they're nothing, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is none righteous, no, not one. Until a person recognizes that, they can't be saved. That's a lot of people are trying religion to get to heaven through religion. You can't do it. It's only through the Lord Jesus. And we got to come to that point. There has to be a point before a person can get saved. They first got to realize they're lost. They got to recognize that they're nothing and they can't save themselves. We did nothing, absolutely nothing, to save ourselves. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Even the very best person, the best person you can think of in the world outside of Jesus, the best human person you can think of that was a good person and a kind person, that very, very person, the Bible says their righteousness is filthy rags, because we're all sinners. And we don't like that. You know, man, we live in a humanistic age when man likes to think he's really something good. But we're not. We're all dirty, rotten sinners. The Psalm 34:17 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Religion cannot save. And that's so important for people to realize. There's all kinds of religions people can try, and not a one of them will work. Religion can't save. Only God's grace, only God's mercy. And we need to realize that. I trust everyone today has come to that point that you realize coming to church is good, getting baptized is good, living a good life. Those are all important things, but they cannot save. Because we're all sinners, and we cannot save ourselves. We've got to look to Him and let Him do the save. He's the Savior, and we look to Him. He's the only one that could save us. I like that verse in Lamentations. It says, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. You know, because God is so high and so mighty and lifted up and holy, and we're not. If he wanted to, he could have just killed us all just like that. And that's what we all deserve. We all deserve to be destroyed and be in hell forever. But it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So he's the one that saved us. He's the one that came down. He came down to me and saved me. Praise the Lord. And I trust that you know him as your Savior, because you'll never, if you're trusting religion, you're trusting your good works, you're trusting your church membership, any of those things, they're all nothing. They won't amount to a hill of beans getting you into heaven. In fact, Paul said, Paul was a very religious man before he got saved, and he said, I count them but dung, or garbage, or refuge. All his religion could not save him. It's only through the Lord. So we need to remember, we're poor in spirit. And notice the wonderful promise there. When you get to that place, when you get to that place that you come and you realize, Lord, I'm nothing, I cannot save myself, then you can look up and he can pull you up, and you can be a part of the kingdom of heaven. But you got to get to that place, the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And not only did we do nothing to save ourselves, I like this second part, we did nothing to save ourselves, but we don't even do anything to keep ourselves saved. Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I love that verse. Now unto him, that's God, and to him able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Not only did we not do anything to get ourselves saved, but we don't keep ourselves saved. And that's a comfort to me, because if I had to hold on to it, if I had to hold on, I'd surely fall, because I mess up. Every one of us do. But it's not based on us. It's based on him, and he never fails. I was reading a verse this morning in Hebrews. That verse, I believe it's Hebrews 6. It says, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And that verse got me excited, because that's Jesus. Jesus ever lives. You know, a lot of people go to a religion, they go to a priest or something, they think that priest is going to intercede for them. You know, that priest has got sin himself, and someday that priest will die. But Jesus, he ever lives. He died, but he rose again. He lives forever. So he ever lives. So as long as he's alive, my salvation's secure, because it's not based on me. It's based on him. And you know, the next verse there in Hebrews got me excited too, because it says he ever liveth to make intercession. You know, a priest in the old days, they had to go once a year and had to go in and do the blood and all, and they had to do it over and over, because it just covered the sin. It didn't take away. But the next few verses there in Hebrews talks about his sacrifice, and it was once for all. Jesus said on the cross, he said, it's finished. And it was once for all. His blood was offered for our sins, and that takes care of it forever. And now he lives. He lives forever. And since we serve a living Savior, we have a living hope inside of us that will never fail. That's wonderful to know that I didn't save myself. I could do nothing to get saved. And I don't keep myself saved. He's the one that did it, and it's all in his hands. And praise the Lord, he's in control, and he ever lives. So what a wonderful thing to realize. We're nothing, but he's everything. And because we're nothing, he gives us and he's everything. He's lifted us up, and he gives us a home in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4 is the second one. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And notice that it says, blessed are they that mourn. You know, if you don't mourn first, you can't be comforted. You know, we all face griefs and trials and problems in this old world. But if we didn't, we couldn't be comforted. That's a wonderful thing, that we can be comforted because we mourn and God comforts us. You know, like a little child that's sick with a fever, the mother maybe comes with a wet washcloth and wet wash rag and wipes their brow and comforts them. But they couldn't be comforted unless they're first sick. And we live in a sin-cursed world full of mourning, but we can be comforted because we have a comforter, the Lord himself. And the Holy Spirit's our great comforter. So praise the Lord for this, that those that mourn. This world is full of suffering. There's all kinds of suffering around us every day. We know it. We see physical suffering, sicknesses of all kinds. The amazing thing about this world is that even though today with modern medicine we've come a long way and we don't have some of the diseases like smallpox and so forth that we used to have, we don't have those old-time infectious diseases, but we have new diseases that we know about now, like cancers and heart disease and heart attacks and all that. So no matter what man does, he finds the solution to some things, but then new problems open up because we live in a sin-cursed world. This world will never be perfect. So we got physical suffering, we got sicknesses, we got mental suffering where people sometimes have an unclear mind. We have emotional suffering. We have depression. We have loneliness. We have rejection, and we have when loved ones have to go away. That's a grief to our heart. Megan's going to go through this pretty soon. She's going to be going off to college, and it's probably harder for her parents than it will be for her. I remember when I went through that. When you're young and you go through that, it didn't bother me so much. But then, a few years later, I took my oldest daughter to college, and I went through it then. So it turns back on you sometimes. But anyway, sometimes you just don't realize all that people go through. But there's all sorts physical problems, mental problems, emotional problems. There's spiritual problems that people face. People today in this old world we live, many people are far from God, and they're spiritually hardened, and they're full of spiritual problems. You know, the world says, this is what's interesting too, the world says suffering is when things don't go your way. We live in such a spoilt generation that we live in today that people, if their air conditioner broke, they think they're really, really suffering. What about the time before there was an air conditioner? So we're very spoilt, and we want things our way. There's a little song this old time. Actually, this musical was even back before we had air conditioners, much as an old time musical called Oklahoma. I think it was back in the 30s or so. I don't know. But anyway, in this musical, there's a lot of little songs in there, and there's one song about this man singing. He sings, "Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way." Well, that's the philosophy of so many people in our country today. It's a beautiful day. It's a glorious day if things are going my way. It's all based on self. And so when things don't go my way, we get all bent out of shape and we get all upset. And that's the way this whole world operates. Whenever things go their way, they're happy. But when things don't go their way, they're sad. Happiness for them is based on when things go your way. And that's, I think, one of the reasons we have such a dog-eat-dog world is people are wanting to get ahead and be in charge of everything and run everything and try to make things go their way. But in real life, that doesn't happen. Even world dictators who think they're making everything go their way, mean ones like Stalin and Hitler, things didn't go their way either. They met their own destruction in time. And so things do not always go our way. That's a very foolish philosophy. The Bible has the reverse. The Bible doesn't say you'll be happy when things are going your way. The Bible says you'll be happy when things are going God's way. And that's, I found that over and over, even in my own Christian life, because, you know, even as a believer in Christ, we have plans and we have goals and we have things we want to do, and sometimes they don't come out the way we want them to do, and we get all bent out of shape and upset. But, you know, the more I realize the truth of Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, not some, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And if you're saved and you love God, that verse is true, because God's word never told a lie. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And if we realize that verse, it helps encourage me, I know, so much, because I know things don't go my way. And I know there's problems and there's sorrows and there's things that are mournful out there. But I also know that God's in control, and He's sovereign, and He's working things out, and it's going His way. And that gives me a peace. I don't have to get all bent out of shape and worry about things, because He's in control. And so those that mourn, we all mourn, and we all have sorrows, and we all have sadness. Not only that, here's another mournful thing I thought about. We think it's bad in this world right now of the mourning. Just think about the revelation. You read about what's going to happen in the tribulation. It's a mournful place already here on this old earth. It's going to be thousands of times worse in the awful time of the tribulation. Of course, as believers in Christ, we'll be out of here through the rapture. But it will be a terrible, terrible time of mourning and sorrow and so forth to come. So as believers, we have comfort. We're going through this world right now. We won't be in the tribulation. He's going to catch us out. But we are in this world right now for a while. And it's a mournful place, a sorrowful place. But blessed are they that mourn, because in the midst of all this sorrow, in the midst of all this sadness, we have comfort. We have a great comforter who will comfort us and strengthen us and help us in time of suffering and sorrow. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, But the Lord delivereth him out of them. There's that word all. You know, all things are working together. Every suffering, every trial, every problem we have, the Lord's able to deliver us out of them. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to see that when we're going through something. And we don't see that. But, you know, someday we will. Someday we'll understand that the Lord was there with us all the time. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always there. And we have a God of comfort who will be with us in times of suffering. And when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's an awesome task. And that's not just for missionaries. That's for every one of us. We're all responsible for the Great Commission wherever we live or wherever we are. And so every one of the believer in Christ, we have that Great Commission. But I like the promise, and it says, and lo, I'm with you always. There's that word, always, even unto the end of the world. God is always with us. Whatever we're going through, and that's such a comfort and gives us strength and encouragement when we realize he's always there. He never fails. He's the great comfort. And here's another important thing. Let's turn over for this one. 2 Corinthians 1. And I wanted to show you some things about going through trials. 2 Corinthians 1, and we see here why God sometimes allows suffering and sorrow. We don't always know, and I can say sometimes I think we'll never know this side of heaven why we're going through something, but God gives us a plain answer here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Corinthian church was a very carnal church, but they also had problems and sufferings like anybody else. And Paul's trying to encourage them as they go through whatever they were. I don't know what all they went through, but I know they went through things. I know Paul himself went through tons of stuff. He suffered shipwreck twice. He got beat up sometimes. He got thrown in jail numerous times. He really went through it as a believer in Christ. But yet, here's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 through 6. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There's that word, the God of all comfort. When you're sorrowful, when you're mournful, look to him. He's the comforter. The God of all comfort. Who, notice this, verse 4. Who comfort us in all. There's that word again. I'd like to do a study sometimes how many alls you can find in the Bible. There's that word. Not just some of it, all. Who comfort us in all our tribulation. Now, here's the reason. Paul gives us why. God told him there why sometimes you go through suffering. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. What Paul's telling me says, you may be going through something, but you're going through something so that you can comfort somebody else. And I found that truth over and over. In fact, I don't fully realize it myself because the Lord's been good to me. I've never lost in death a parent. My grandparents are gone, but I've never lost a parent. I've never lost a spouse or a child. And so there's a lot of things I haven't been through, and so I really don't know what it's like, so I can't really comfort someone. All I can do is tell them to look to the Lord. But, you know, sometimes people go through that. They go through a sorrow, and then someone else they meet's going through that same sorrow, maybe the loss of a loved one or maybe a cancer that they're going through. And when they go through it, they can be a comfort to somebody else. We go through these sorrows so that we can be a comfort to someone else. And when you realize that kind of gives you a reason. It's not just random. The things that happen to us are not just random chance. We live in a humanistic world that says evolution is how we got here. And evolution is very, very random and very, very haphazard and very, very chance. But as a believer in Christ, we realize we do not live in a haphazard, random world where things are just happening by chance. We live in a God-controlled world. And even though there's sorrow, even though there's sin and trouble, God's allowing that to happen in the world we live in. And he's allowing it to happen for a purpose, for his glory, and that we can go through things so that we can comfort other people. So that's a great comfort to know that when we mourn, we got a comforter. We can have comfort in our mourning. Now we're back in Matthew 5, and we're down to the we're down to. I'm probably going to stop with this one. We're down to the third one. I'll finish this up tonight. But the third one is the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And meekness is not weakness. The world will tell you it's not good to be meek because that's not the way we operate in this world. We operate by power and strength and authority. But that's, again, that's the upside-down philosophy of the world. Jesus said that meekness is important, and it's not weakness, because you think of one of the great people in the Bible was Moses. And they say Moses was the meekest of all men on earth. And Jesus was very, he was even meeker than Moses, because Moses a couple times got angry and mad and lost his temper. Jesus never did that. He was a perfect example of meekness. And I read this verse, I thought it was good, in Psalm 22:26, it said, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever." Notice the meek. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. It says here, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. There's eternal promises for the meek, the people that are not proud and haughty, but they're meek and they're kind to people. Not only is meekness not weakness, but meekness will impress the lost soul. Every day when we go about the world that we're in, we need to be kind and reaching out to people, because we never know what someone else is going through. And we need to be sensitive to the needs of other people. Everybody has bad days. When we don't feel as good and we're not doing what we should be. And sometimes when I'm teaching, sometimes I have a bad day, and I have students that encourage me. They tell me things, and it helps me to keep pressing on and be encouraged, because we need to be sensitive to other people. We don't know what they're going through, and we never know what another person might be going through, and our kindness could be used to the Lord to reach out to them. There's a story I heard about Dr. Gibbs, Christian lawyer, and Dr. Gibbs was once going through the drive-thru at McDonald's. And when he was going through there, there was this lady, and she was having a terrible time getting this order right. She was saying something. He told her what he wanted, and she typed up something else, come up on the screen, and it was all twisted and it was all messed up. And he was starting to get very impatient, like any of us would. When we like to be, especially if we're going to pay the money for a product, we want it to be right. And he was getting very perturbed and very upset. And he was getting kind of angry a little bit, but his wife, he said, reached over and kind of touched him and kind of calmed him down a little bit. And he was so glad that she did that, because here's what happened in the latter part of the story. He went on, they got the order, and he said it wasn't even right when he finally got it. But you know, at that point, he didn't worry about it. He just said he didn't care, because right when he was going around the drive-thru and going, getting ready to leave, the manager came over, and the manager, of course, managers, that's their job, to calm things down. He thought there might be a little bit of a problem. He came over and he says, "Is there a problem with your order, sir?" or something, and was trying to be helpful. And at that point, Dr. Gibbs said he'd give it to the Lord. He wasn't angry anymore. And then the manager told this story. That lady, I forget, it was either sickness or death. Something really terrible had happened in her family that day, and this was her first day back at work. And the point of his story was his kindness, his meekness, reached out to someone and comforted someone. Whereas if he had done the fleshly thing, got all mad and angry and hateful, that's the flesh, that's what we'd want to do when our order doesn't get right, he wouldn't have been a very good testimony, and that lady wouldn't have thought much of Christians if she knew him. And so we never know what people are going through, and we just need to be sensitive to help others. This meekness thing, some days, like I said, it's not going to be like it is here in this little world. Someday when we get to heaven, the first are going to be last, and the last are going to be first. And some of the greatest people when we get to heaven and see the rewards, I think, are not going to be the ones we think. We'll think maybe someone, a pastor of a mega church with thousands of people saved, we think that they're going to be right at the head of the line, and they probably will get some rewards. I'm not saying they're not, but you know what? There's going to be a lot of people that we will never know about. There might be some grandmother that sat in her rocking chair and prayed for people over and over, and we never know. We just never know what God's doing, because God's the one that keeps the records, not us. And so this meekness is so important. And I just praise the Lord. This is a good place to close right in here. I got this one poem, and then we'll pray and all. But I hope this message has spoke to you like it did for me. Because there's so many people out there that we could touch and we could reach if we just have the meekness of the Lord and have His Spirit to guide us and to help us. And I'm so thankful for this church here that this is a praying church, because last few years I've been taking young people to camp, and God's been working in these young people's lives. It's so amazing to see. And I know it's not because of any greatness of myself. It's because of the Lord, and it's also because of prayers of people here who pray, and God uses you. And I think of even like working with young people or what. There's people that have to deal with them every day, like in school or youth group like I do. But that's not the only people that are going to get the rewards. There's people praying all the time for young people and praying for the mission field. There may be a mission field that we never get to go to, but if you can be faithful in prayer. God gives a job for every one of us. And the whole key is, I think, being sensitive to God and letting Him touch your heart and show you. Here's this poem. This poem is spoken. I hope I can get through. The last time I preached this message and read this poem, I about lost it when I read this poem, but it really spoke to my heart. It says, "Someone, just anyone. She sat alone in the old people's home, lonely and old and gray. She wished that someone, just anyone, would call on her that day. Did you? He lay for days on the hospital bed. The hours were long and hard. He wished that someone, just anyone, would send him a cheery card. Did you? He was far from home on foreign soil, feeling homesick, lonely and blue. He wished that someone, just anyone, would write him a letter. Did you? Her loved one died a few weeks ago. All sad and brokenhearted she sat. She wished that someone, just anyone, would come to her house for a chat. Did you? He hoped he'd recited his verses as well. The little fellow, you know. He wished that someone, just anyone, would smile and tell him so. Did you? The matter of Christian service, we are living it day by day. When we help someone, just anyone, as we walk along life's way." Let's stand for prayer. Lord,